Amen. The book of Ruth, please, and the second chapter. And we're going to take the second verse of that chapter as our text this morning. The book of Ruth, and the second chapter. It tells us, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field." Think of the words and think of the picture. She is going forth. The Lord says, we're to go into all the world. Here's a woman going into the field. Let me now go. She's going into the field of service. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. Last week we thought a little of Boaz as a picture of Christ. And this week we're going to think a little of Ruth as a picture of the Christian worker. If I could emphasize to you, just by way of introduction, one of the things that characterizes life in the Philippines, we had our brother Noel with us last month. For those that were there that night, it was a memorable evening for a number of reasons. But he emphasized the work of God there in the great islands of the Philippines. And one of the things that characterizes life in those islands is the very high unemployment among the people. One of the churches that we had the opportunity to visit the first time I was there back in 2005 had 90% unemployment among the congregation. And that means that poverty is at a very high level indeed. The reality is, for the common people in the Philippines, good jobs are hard to find. And that's why so many of them are coming here to the United Kingdom and to Ireland. I read some time back that there are now 10,000 Filipino nurses in Ireland alone. So the reality is, if I could sum it up like this, the Philippines has lots of people, but it has very little work. But I want you to see today, brethren and sisters, that in the Church of Christ, the situation is actually the opposite. It's actually the reverse of that. There is a lot of work, a vast amount of work still to be done. But the Bible's very clear in stressing to us that the workers are few. Think of those famous words of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bring them with fresh power to your hearts today. The harvest is plenteous, and every farmer here will know the amount of work needed to gather in the harvest. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And that's how it is, men and women in every church. There's so much to do. There's so much to be done. And yet so many, or yet so few people to do it. The reality is, the church doesn't need new jobs. It's not what we hear in the news and announced by the government on a regular basis. New jobs. And they can hardly create enough jobs for the people in the land. But the church doesn't need new jobs. There's plenty of jobs, plenty of opportunities. If you want a job to do, you speak to us about that and we'll be happy to put you to work. The church doesn't need new jobs. What the church needs is workers. You know, it's very significant, and I want to underline it for you. In the book of Ruth, the word work only occurs just once. And it's in that 12th verse of the chapter 2. That's why we took the time to read it again and why I highlighted it to you. The Lord recompense thy work. The only time in the book of Ruth that you find or read the word work, it is used of this young woman. It says, the Lord recompense thy work. And what that's emphasizing, what that's drawing our attention to, is this, brethren and sisters, Ruth was a worker in the field. Here's a young lady, and she was known for her labors. and especially her labors for the Lord. For keep in mind, the verse says, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Here's a young lady saved, a new convert, and the Bible emphasizes to us the work that she was doing. Do you remember those words that are recorded of the virtuous woman in the book of Proverbs? She didn't eat the bread of idleness. Will those words apply very appropriately to this young woman, Ruth? She was a worker in the field. And I want to ask you this morning the question, are you like her in that regard? Are you laboring for Christ in the field of service? We did note some characteristics of the field last week as we thought about Boaz, the picture of Christ. We thought of the field of Boaz. Next week in the will of God, we'll look a little closer at the field. We'll concentrate on the field in its entirety in that message. But today, what I want us to do is to note the characteristics of the worker, and especially the characteristics of Ruth as a worker in the field. You'll notice the first one is willingness. In verse 2, the verse we've taken for our text today, Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. I want you to see that Ruth had a willing heart. She was a young woman that had a willing spirit. She was willing to work. And what she's actually doing, in the words there of verse 2, is she's volunteering for service. You ever done that? Volunteered for service in the Church of Christ? This young lady didn't have to be pushed, didn't have to be forced, didn't have to be begged to get into the field and into the work against her will. Some of you brought up on the farm maybe remember days that your father came and said, need you out in the field, and you complained and moaned, had to be dragged out into the field. Well, that's not how it was with Ruth. She wasn't dragged into the field kicking and screaming against her will. This young woman was willing to go to the field and willing to get into the work. In the war times, there were those that were drafted for service. Many didn't want to go. Many didn't want to be in the war, didn't want to be in the forces. And they did all sorts of things to get out of service for the nation at that time. But I want you to see, men and women, it wasn't so with Ruth. She displays a willingness, and a willingness especially to work. Did you ever notice in the book of Judges, chapter 5, Deborah's song, they had defeated the Canaanites under Jabin and Sisera, who was the general of his army. And one of the things that she emphasized in the song that she sung was this, the people willingly offered themselves. And what a statement that is. Is it true of you today? You'll willingly offer yourself to the service of Christ. It is said there are two types of people in the world, those who are willing to work and those who are willing to let them. And you know that is true in the church as well, not just in society. But the question this morning is, which are you? Are you willing? Are you willing to serve God? Are you willing today to give your life for all of the will of God? You know the way we sometimes put it, willing for all of the will of God, whatever that might be for you. Mr. Spurgeon tells the story, you know, of the farmer in their day bringing in the harvest. He was using the scythe out in the field, and he was working hard, cutting down the barley. But there was a man standing at the gate. He wasn't in the field. He was just looking in, looking into the field, looking at the work. But you can identify with us. He was saying of the man that was in the field, he's a great worker, but if only he would swing that scythe a wee bit differently, he would get on a bit better. He was not doing anything. He didn't get into the field. He wasn't doing any work himself, but he knew a better way for the man to go about doing the work that was in the field. Doesn't that happen in the church, men and women? Those looking on, as it were, leaning at the gate, They're not in the field. They're not doing anything. Maybe you're one of them. But you're saying there's a great worker for the Lord, but you're just so wise. You know a better way for them to do it. But you don't do anything yourself. You find that it's so common in the Church of Christ. No willingness. There are those that are willing to work, men and women. And there are those that are willing to let them. And the question is, which are you? You remember David's great challenge to the children of Israel when they came to build the temple in Jerusalem? Who then is willing? Can I ask that question again this morning under God? And may the Spirit apply it with power to your heart today. Who then is willing? In this congregation here today, who's willing to consecrate? The idea of that word, remember, fill your hands. Who's willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Is that you? Are you willing to work for God? Are you a willing spirit today? You know, the sad thing is that there are many people who are talented. Many people that are greatly gifted by God, but they're not willing to use those gifts in his service. In a sense, they're hiding their light under a bushel, hiding their talent. That's a sad thing. That's of no use. That's one of the reasons why the church often has a lack of workers. The people that have the gifts, the people that have the ability, they're not willing to surrender it. They're not willing to use it. They're not willing to give it in the service of Christ. Is that you? Gifted, talented, but you haven't a willingness to get into the work and do something in your local congregation to spread the message of the gospel. Remember, men and women, there's going to be a day of reckoning, a day of answering, a day when we will be asked to give account for our stewardship, the things that God has blessed us with, the things that God has entrusted us with. One day he'll call us to give account of our stewardship. So there was the willingness. I want you to see as well her humbleness. If you look there at verse 2, it says, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field," and notice these words, "and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Ruth's work or Ruth's task in the field was gleaning. What that means is the gathering of stalks that had fallen or had been dropped by the reapers. Gleaning, men and women, was humble work. In fact, it was the lowest job to be done in the harvest. But Ruth was happy. Ruth was content to take up that position and to do that work. Can I ask you, men and women, are you like her? There are lots of humble jobs, lots of humble positions in God's work. Jobs that are not very nice. Jobs that are not very attractive. But the question is, are you willing to humble yourself and put your hand to them and carry them out? You think of locally, for example, when we have the annual church cleanup, there's brushing to be done and washing, cleaning, weeding, cutting. Humble work. Will you be there the next time there is such a morning and such an occasion to help in the cause of the gospel? You only have to think of the Savior. Do you remember what he did as the crucifixion was approaching? The Bible says he washed the disciples' feet. It's not a humble task, humble work. We would associate that with a servant. You only have to put yourself in that position. You think of those around you this morning. Would you wash their feet if occasion arose? You think of how humble a task, how humble a position the Savior took. And then remember the words that he uttered in context with it. "I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." As he humbled himself to take up that lowly position and to carry out that humble task, he wants you to be like him and to follow in his footsteps. Hudson Taylor, when he was out in Melbourne in Australia, he was introduced as an illustrious guest as he got up to speak at a great congregation. And Hudson Taylor said to the people, He argued against the introduction, not in the sense that he argued and made a whole scene, but what he did was he said, I'm not an illustrious guest, I'm just the lowly servant of an illustrious master. And that's our position, men and women. We have an illustrious master, and we're just his humble servants. Remember that what actually happened with Hudson Taylor on one occasion, there's a young fellow just out on the field, been brought up in an aristocratic family. He was used to servants looking after his clothes. And when he went to bed one night, he set his boots outside the door, expecting the servant to clean the boots during the night. But you know who did the job? Hudson Taylor, the great veteran missionary. A humble man, a humble servant of God. Humble service for the master. Do you know, men and women, there are some Christians and they'll never be of any use to God. Never. Until they first humble themselves and take the lowly position in the house of God and in the work of God. There are some people and they're too full of themselves, too full of their own goodness. There are some people that have far too haughty a spirit ever really to be of any use to the Lord. Think of themselves more highly than they ought, as the Bible says. Remember those great words, 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people which are called by my name, what's the first thing they're to do? Shall humble themselves. And there are some Christians will never be of any use until they humble themselves before the Lord and are willing to do anything that the Lord has for them to do. Humbleness of spirit. I want you to see as well her steadfastness. If you look at verse 7 of the chapter, verse 7 tells us, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Notice the word there, continued, even from the morning. Ruth kept at the work. Ruth kept at the task. She didn't faint. She didn't give up. She didn't walk out. She didn't go on strike. She didn't say, I've had enough, whenever the novelty of it all wore off. And you think of those eastern countries. Think of being out in the field in the heat of the day. And there's a picture for us there as well, brethren and sisters. Sometimes in the work of God, there's the heat of the day. But I want you to think of her out in the field. And yet, despite all of those things, Ruth was steadfast in her work and steadfast in her labors. She kept at it, regardless of how hard the job was. And I say to you today, brethren and sisters, we need to be the same. A lot of talk this week about that great boxing match that took place out in America through the night. There is a phrase or a sporting picture that is used with regard to boxing, to throw in the towel. It's that day when you've had enough and you give up. Well, I wonder if there's somebody here and you have done that recent months, recent years. In a sense, you've thrown in the towel, given up, as far as doing anything for Christ is concerned in your labors in the local congregation. Remember, men and women, there's always going to be difficulties. The devil will make sure of that. There's always going to be discouragements. That's one of the greatest weapons the devil has. There's always going to be persecutions. While we're here on this earth, the devil will stir up those that will oppose us and persecute us. Remember that Nehemiah, in his great work of building the walls, faced all of those things. It's an interesting study. But despite it all, despite everything that was hurled at him and said before him, he kept at the work. And I want to urge you to do the same. There's times that there will be mistakes that will be made. There's none of us infallible in that regard. We don't live in an infallible world. We don't claim infallibility in our church. There's times mistakes will be made, but still we must continue. We're not to allow those things to divert us or to stop us. We're to keep at the job. William Carey, the great missionary to India, do you know how he described himself? As a plodder. He wanted his biography to record that his words, his attitude, his desire was this: I plod on. And that, brethren and sisters, is the spirit that we need in the day in which we live. We need to follow in the footsteps of that great man of God. When all the difficulties and the discouragements and the opposition arises, this should be our attitude and our outlook. I'm a plodder, and I'm going to plod on in the work of God. Christmas Evans, I mentioned him here on Christmas Day, the great Welsh preacher. Last Christmas was the 250th anniversary of his birth, and we will do a little presentation on his life and the will of God at the prayer meeting in the not too distant future. But I emphasized his birth that day. Well, his dying words, think of his death. His dying words were, drive on, drive on. See, he was used riding a horse. In all of his great preaching tours and all of his travels across the Principality of Wales to spread the gospel, that's the words that he was known for. He would say to his horse, drive on, drive on. And as he slipped from this world to the next, those words were upon his lips. Still thinking of the work, still thinking of people to be reached, drive on, drive on. And that ought to be our attitude as well, men and women. You think of those great words of Paul's. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Those are the sort of Christians we need in this dark, wicked day in which we live. Steadfast and unmovable. They're not going to be stopped. They're not going to be made to turn back. They're not going to be caused to give up. They're going to keep at the work, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the spirit. That's the attitude that is needed, brethren and sisters. One other that I'll mention to you this morning, and that's promptness. Look there at verse 2 of the chapter, our text again. She says, let me now go to the field. Ruth went to the work right away. It's good to see that. Immediately. Remember, she wasn't long in Bethlehem. Just arrived. But she didn't look around for a few months and take it easy. She didn't look around for a few months to take in all of the sights. No, as soon as she could, she put her hand to the work. Does that give you a very clear idea and understanding of the type of young woman that she was? Is it any wonder that her life stood out? The fact is, she knew there was no time to waste. If they wasted time, if they delayed, the harvest would be lost. And we need to remember that too, brethren and sisters. If you think of the question, when should you serve Christ? Many think, later, when I'm older. It's not the same thing the devil whispers in your ear with regard to salvation. And some of you here in the meeting this morning, the devil has been whispering in that in your ears for years. Don't get saved now. Wait a while. Wait until you're older. Remember, there's no guarantee of that, men and women. And the devil whispers the same thing in your ear with regard to service. Wait until you're older. Not today. But remember, men and women, remember as you sit in God's house this Sabbath day, this is the only time you're sure of. The only time. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. Don't boast of tomorrow. You know not what a day will bring forth. You know not what shall be on the morrow. God says, remember the words of Joshua at the end of his life, choose ye this day. There's the challenge that God would bring to your heart this morning. Not tomorrow, not next week. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Do you remember Joseph and his butler, the butler of Pharaoh that was in the prison with him? And he was standing before Pharaoh on the morning after Pharaoh had those great dreams about the cattle coming up out of the Nile and of the ears of corn and so on. And Pharaoh couldn't find a man to interpret the dream for him. And the butler said, I remember my faults this day. He remembered there that morning what Pharaoh had just said, the reference to the dreams. It brought to his mind his own dream. And it brought to his remembrance something that he had said, something that he had promised to young Joseph that morning in the prison those years before, 2 years or so previously. And maybe you're in the same position today. You remember your faults this day. You remember someone that you intended to speak to about the things of God. And maybe they're no longer here. And how sad that is. You remember some family member that you intended to call with and to witness to them of the things of God and leave a little bit of gospel literature with them. You remember something that you intended to do for the Lord, something that you intended to get involved in, but so far you've left it undone, haven't put your hand to it. Remember your faults this day. If that is so, men and women, here's what the Lord would say to your heart this morning. Go work today. You've waited, procrastinated, delayed, put it off far too long already. Go work today. Just like Ruth did, right away. Get into the work. And that's how it should be. Remember, she was a young convert. That's how it should be for every young convert. Immediately get into the work. So here's a picture of the Christian worker. The willingness, humbleness, the steadfastness, and the promptness. And I'll say to you just in closing, the Lord's looking for people like Ruth in this church and in this community. The Lord's looking for workers like this young woman. Can I ask, are you willing? Will you be? Are you prepared this morning to offer yourself as she did? Are you prepared to surrender your life and your talents and your time and your energy and your resources? All that God has blessed you with. Are you willing today to be such a person as she was and give yourself to the work in the great harvest fields that God has before us? You think of those words. Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And I pray as you have heard this message, and I pray it'll come as a word from God, but that'll be your response today. Let me now go to the field. And even if it's the lowly task, I'll glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. 480.